This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Now, to show our gratitude, we're not going to be like the other guys and jerk you around and bullshit you. We're going to tell you the truth.
Shane Douglas is the man who ignites the new flame of the sport of professional wrestling. The era of the franchise. The era of the ECW.
Place to Be Nation, JT here with a brand new podcast offering for you on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. I'm one of three co-hosts bringing to you PTBN's Extreme Three-Way Dance and ECW Historical Retrospective Podcast Series. And I'm going to go ahead and waste no time bringing in my dance partners here tonight, this menage a trois of fun. Going to go ahead and first bring in the OG of PTBN. He's been around since the beginning. You hear him pretty regularly on the Place to Be podcast with me. You hear him on This Week in Sports, The Year in Pop, and many other shows across the PlaceToBeNation.com network of podcasts. And that is, of course, the one and only Mr. J. Arsenio D'Amato. Johnny, how are you?
Senor, thank you for inviting me on this journey. I'm honored as the king of PTBN has summoned the court jester to entertain the feudal lords of Place to Be Nation. So Lord Nunez, Lord Souza, Lord Atherton, Lord Weber, prepare to be entertained.
Well, when I think extreme and like sexual double entendres, you know, you were the number one choice, of course.
Yes, and prepare to be regaled with tales from the finest dumps of Philadelphia, tales of destruction and horror from Queens, New York, etc. And speaking of Queens,
that's a great segue. You didn't finish it, but it was a great segue. So why don't we go ahead and bring in our third leg of the tripod? I don't know, our third co-host here on the show. You have heard her on, let me try and list them off the top of my head. So, co-host of Geek and Sassy, the host of Freak Out Drive-In, the co-host of Talkin' Pop, the co-host of Talkin' WCW, and you heard her most recently on the Hidden Gems Network special. You've heard her on the Place to Be podcast as well. I think that's all of them, Jennifer Smith.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot more, but there's no other person I think that could complete this three-way than me with you guys. I mean, all of our names start with J, number one, and we're all very extreme, so I'm happy to be here.
We're going to go to the extreme for sure, and it was all right, so this is my idea, and I'm going to explain how this concept came about and why I chose both of you and where we're headed, and that's what this episode is really about. So if you're listening, think of this as like a pilot episode. We wanted to kind of get the intros and the setup out of the way, so when we kind of initially start the actual journey, we can just dive right in on the next episode. And this is one that has been really just like rattling in my brain for a long time. ECW is something I haven't seen a ton of. I've seen the big stuff. I've watched the DVDs. I watched like the TNN era, a couple of pay-per-views then, but I haven't really seen the week-to-week and like a lot of the epic storylines that you always hear about and some of the wrestlers' early days or later days, as it may be. A lot of it I just haven't seen. So once the network really started pumping out the ECW content, it's always been something that I've wanted to do something with. And a couple of years ago, I tried doing a written series. I just ran out of time trying to do that. And most recently, earlier this week, the network dropped a bunch of the missing specials that were really kind of litter up until the pay-per-view era, a bunch of stuff in 94, 95, and 96. And those are kind of the final pieces to put this puzzle of ECW together. So once those dropped, I was like, all right, I have to finally do something. And, you know, I have obviously plenty of room to do more podcasts. But along with what I'm doing with Chad with the Monday Night Wars, this was the two things I've always kind of wanted to do. I wanted to go through the wars and compare head-to-head, and I wanted to do ECW. So anyway, once I decided I wanted to do something, I wanted to make sure I had two partners on the show because of the way it's going to go, where it's not going to be like me and Chad or me and Scott, where we kind of do the straight play-by-play and great. It's like, we're going to make it more conversational. I picture it being a hybrid of like the chronological wrestling war zone with something, Jenny, like you do with Talking WCW, where it's a lot more back and forth and conversational about the topics, but we're still going to go more in an order of the matches, chronological show order versus just like picking random stuff. So I wanted to get two ends of the spectrum. So John, I asked you because I know you've attended some ECW stuff in the past. I believe you watched at least some of it during its initial run. And I just reached out to you to see if you had interest in reliving some of this. Because I know in the past you felt, you know, you've stated before that you think some of it doesn't traditionally hold up, but I knew you had an interest there. And then Jenny, I chose you because I know you've seen pretty much none of this.
Right.
And I know you have an appetite to watch more from the years gone by that you haven't seen. And also, earlier this year, as part of our kind of live watch community and group that we have going on, we did some 93 into early 94-ish era ECW, and I know you enjoyed it quite a bit. So I thought this would be a good cross-section of, like, John, someone who's got more experience, Jenny, with none, and then myself, that's kind of a little experienced in ECW. And what makes the better threesome than someone who's very experienced, no experience, and middle-level experience? So, so anyway, that was my vision for the show. So what I thought we could do to kind of get us going is talk about our experience, what we do have when it comes to ECW. So John, talk a little bit about like what you've seen, what you've experienced. Was it live? Was it retrospect? On and on when it comes to ECW.
Well, I first, you know, read about it from this rogue operation, because I was a weekly Meltzer subscriber who's a public enemy number one in our PTBN little chat nation. But regardless of that, back in the days, which we'll be saying that a lot, back in the days, he was pretty much the only source of information. If it wasn't for him, we'd probably, you know, still be thinking that it was real. It's not it wasn't a sports entertainment. So he definitely educated, you know, in his weekly Observer. I'm like reading about this rogue operation, all this crazy stuff going on, and so actually, it didn't come to MSG New York. I wasn't able to actually see it until like 95, mm-hmm. I think, when it started rolling on MSG. And that was at like Saturday at 2 in the morning. That was the only slot that they could buy. So I had to rely on the old VCR when that worked, and that was random. So I kind of wasn't on it at the beginning, and just here and there. So I look forward to looking at some of the stuff before 95. As a matter of fact, you know, our first show, which was one of the ones that dropped today, which is what started it all. I've only seen little bits and pieces, obviously the big highlight, but it's terrific just to be able to sit and see through the whole show and to see somebody's names that are like, you know, Sal Palomo and stuff that we'll get into.
It's an interesting cross-section for sure.
Yeah, it's also going to be new for me too, and a lot of stuff has been forgotten, and right. a lot of stuff will ring a bell. So definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah, and there's so much that I've always wanted to see, and like I said, I've seen a match here and there, but you know, I wanted to see the Cactus Jack stuff, right? I want to see the Steve Austin stuff. I want to see the evolution of Raven and Dream, or like all the stuff that I've heard and seen clips of, but never seen the week to week. And, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, I didn't really start. I was aware of ECW probably as early as 96. Again, like I wasn't a subscriber to the Meltzer, but to Meltzer's newsletter, but just I got onto AOL in 96 and just reading PWI, you saw some of it there. So I was like aware of wrestlers. And then it's funny because the partnership that ECW would eventually have with WWF was beneficial, because that's how I really started to learn about it, when they popped up on, I think it was In Your House Mind Games and Raw, and then eventually in 97 on Raw. That really is what brought like even more awareness into my world around that. But I still didn't really see anything ECW. I wasn't tape trading, clips on the internet. Like video on the internet was still pretty rudimentary at that point. We were living off pictures, for better or for worse. So, or themes, 30-second theme songs. I didn't really start watching until I got to college, when I met Adam Murray, who had been following ECW and was a big fan. And it was around that time when they got onto TNN. So we watched it pretty regularly on TNN, and he had ordered a couple pay-per-views. So the majority of my ECW knowledge from what I had seen was really from like that 99 till the end period. So yeah, and I haven't gone back and relived a ton of it. Now, I have seen some of the 93 stuff, and the reason why we picked where we picked to start was, A, I didn't really want to relive the 93 stuff. But B, while it's good and you can see the early glimpses of what it would become with the Extreme stuff, the night the line that the line was crossed in February 94 is really kind of the kickoff to everything. It's got the big triple threat with Douglas, Funk, and Sabu, and that really launches it. I would say, like, things really start to turn in November when Eddie Gilbert leaves, and it's almost like overnight after that. I think it was Ultra Clash. Leading up to that was still very just local Northeast indie, and then all of a sudden the week after that show, like, everything started to come into gear. Like, Public Enemy showed up, Sabu showed up, like, all these guys that started popping up. And heading into the show, Terry Funk had won the ECW title, which is still Eastern Championship Wrestling, so he's champion going in. So I think we just figured, like, this is a pretty good launch off point. We ran that by a few different people, and they all seemed to agree that this was a good start. So, Jenny, what ECW experience or, you know, anything have you had besides what I mentioned earlier, and what led to your interest to joining up on the show?
No, I think that was my only experience, or those few shows. I think we watched maybe like 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. And what draws me to this is the part of me that likes the craziness. It's wild. It's hardcore, and that's usually my jam. So anything that is different and sort of chaotic and wild is the fuck shit junk that I like to watch. And so definitely, I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, and it definitely is really chaotic. Like, when we start watching the shows, they're just all, you know, they're jumping all over. It's not your traditional wrestling show, right? It's almost more like an infomercial, John, right? Would you agree with that? Like, I feel like, especially in those mid-90s years where it's a lot of everything. They would just take matches from their house shows, cut them up. They do a lot of ads to the video, a lot of promos to the local show. It very much comes off like an old Cindy WWF style show, but even more of an infomercial than that. It's like, it just feels like here's a chopped up highlights of everything we have to go to offer. Order our videotapes or come to the ECW arena.
Yes, definitely. And also pretty groundbreaking. I guess Mr. Heyman was the innovator of just making, like, I don't know if it was stars, but just giving people pushes or giving a lot of camera time to like not your traditional wrestlers, like your 911s, your Bill Alfonso's, mm-hmm. Francine's, people like that just that became, well, in this little group became like stars and a focal point of the weekly TV. Instead of the traditional two or three big superstars inside the ring, it definitely focused on stars outside the ring, not non-traditional, which is what we still see today a lot.
Paul Heyman in particular is one that I'm looking forward to learning more about and watching more of.
And it really becomes a haven for old, like, guys either that are on the back end of the career or guys that had washed out a bit and needed a reboot. Like, you know, Rythic Raven's a prime example of that. Shane Douglas is a prime example of that. Guys that kind of had initial runs in one of the big promotions, but they'd end up landing here, and it would just resuscitate the career in a completely different manner than you would have expected. So, like, seeing stuff like that evolve is going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, Jenny, it'll be interesting to learn more about Heyman's transition. I mean, he's still on TV for quite a bit as Paulie Dangerously before he transitions more into, like, the owner role. ECW really, you know, originally kind of came out of the TWA for Joel Goodhart's TWA in New York. And they would kind of use that title until things blossomed in 92 when Todd Gordon bought him out. Originally was not part of the National Wrestling Alliance, but then it did become that. Eddie Gilbert, who, Jenny, I think you had talked about recently, a little bit on a talking to WCW. And also, mm-hmm. I had heard it on an old story says I listened to Todd Weber. I talked a bunch about Eddie Gilbert because it was pushing 89. And he, so he was an integral part. He's the lead booker, and he's all over the TV shows in 93. Like, I was watching those, and he's everywhere. And they actually got local TV in March of 93 thanks to Eddie and his contacts on Sports Channel Philadelphia. And that's really where they start off with that TV show. So Gilbert ends up having a big falling out with Todd Gordon. He leaves in September 93, like I had mentioned. And that's really when the switch flips for them. When Paul Heyman comes in and steps in, he had been, of course, Paulie Dangerously in WCW with the Dangerous Alliance, had just been fired in 93 and looking for something different. And he had already been on TV prior to taking over the booking duties from Gilbert. Like, he's just a character on TV. But he would end up just taking on that role. And that's when things really get going and, you know, bridge us into early 94. So Paul Heyman and Todd Gordon are really kind of running the show. Terry Funk was brought in to win the title. And I would say him, Shane Douglas, and Sabu are kind of your big three, and then Public Enemy is kind of your top team. And other than that, they're really starting to rotate other guys in. And Jimmy Snuka is actually one of the top heels as well. He had a really good run in 93 and into 94, as we'll see play out. So he's in there as a heel. The one guy I'm sad we're not going to get to see is Tito Santana, who has a little cup of coffee in 93, and Don Morocco. Like, some of these guys hanging around 93 were, like, crazy in this promotion. When you look back at the history. But again, some of that stuff is just, it's tough to get through. So I think we're picking a pretty good starting point. So I don't want to go too much further than that because we're going to pick it up. I think for the format of the show, guys, what we're going to do is all major shows. So starting with the night the line was crossed, and then we're going to do TV by month, month by month. So episode one will be the big show, and Night the Line Was Crossed. And episode two is going to be the February TV from following that show. Episode three will be the March TV. So, you know, it'll be four episodes of television per, you know, podcast installment until we get to the big show, and that'll be that. So, like I said, you know, our plan is to be more conversational. We're definitely open to reading feedback if anyone wants to provide it to us on any of our social media channels. We'll definitely be sure to share that as well. John, anything you wanted to cover on this primer episode before we kind of wrap up and set the tone for episode two?
No, we'll save it for the for the first episode. Just looking forward to it.
Jenny?
Same.
All right. Simple. So, you know, I think the actual episodes would be longer than this, but we really just wanted to, again, take this 15 minutes and not use it on the actual review and just kind of do it here. So be sure to check out everything at PlaceNation.com and all of our feeds, PlaceNation Wrestling and PlaceNation Pop. You can hear all the shows I mentioned earlier that Jennifer, John, and I are on, plus tons of other ones, and we'll get into more of those as the show rolls on. So we're planning to be back in about, 2 weeks' time or so with episode number two, which we'll dive into the night the line was crossed, and then we'll go on from there. So for John and Jenny, I am JT. We'll talk to everyone soon. Stay extreme. I don't know. I'll come up with a good tagline. Take care.